Well, it's about time for us to start, I think. You'll get enough lunch for to go? Not careful, so it'd be a good time for a nap, wouldn't it? Kind of got full, get kind of relaxed. We're going to spend our time this afternoon, if you've looked at the schedule, you know, of course, discussing drinking. In fact, I think the way the title is on the material is Drink or Drunk. And we're going to deal with that idea here later. A lot of folks, you know, don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of drinking as long as you don't get drunk. So we're going to deal with that somewhat this today as we go forward. Y'all are living in, it's not unique. The times aren't unique in the sense that they're different, but they're a lot more permissive right now than a generation ago as far as the things that the world kind of acts like. It's okay if you do. And you get confusing messages. You hear things like, drink responsibly. You ever heard that? Yes or no? Yes? No? Well, the beer commercial, you watch television, drink responsibly. When someone starts to drink, what's the first thing they lose capacity of?
Their capacity.
To be responsible. Exactly. They're not responsible. So the more you drink, the less likely you are to act responsibly. In fact, there's an old saying. It says, a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. And that's talking about the progressive nature of some of these things. So once they start to drink, you've all seen the commercials where they pull over, the policeman pulls somebody over, and he gets out of the car, and the guy's just totally drunk, right? Sir, have you been drinking? Well, I had one, you know. That's good. Well, he doesn't even remember what he's had, because as he starts to drink, that they just keep right on going. You also hear this sometimes. Don't drink and drive. You ever heard that one? So you have to have a what? You have to have a designated driver. So us three are going to go out drinking. But she's not going to drink. She's the driver. So she and I, we've given our permission. We have permission to just get drunk, right? Because she's going to drive us home. I don't care how we set it up. We don't have permission from God to go get drunk, do we? So it's that same idea. Somehow one person is going to stay sober and everybody else is going to drink. I got a question about that. Let's take Rachel, since I know her name, right? All right, Rachel has two girlfriends in college who want to go out drinking. They know she doesn't drink. Rachel, would you be our designated driver? Should you go hang out with a bunch of drunks? No. You know, even, well, I didn't drink. I don't care if you didn't drink. You went down there with a bunch of them who were. Ephesians 5 verse 11, what's that say? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You're not supposed to be hanging out with a bunch of drunk people, a bunch of people drinking. Now, you get this sometimes. Some of y'all are getting old enough to be going to college here pretty quick, or maybe even high school. Well, if I don't go where they're drinking, I can't go anywhere. Now, that's an exaggeration. People aren't drinking everywhere. And if they were, it doesn't matter, does it? Do I have a right to go down there? Well, everybody's down there. Nobody with any sense is down there, right? Nobody who's trying to do what the Bible says is down there. You ever had a Bible study with a beer in your hand? Well, you're not going to either, okay? That's not what's going on with those drinking parties, is it? Hey, let's go have a few beers and study the book of Acts. Is that what's happening? No. It's just the opposite, isn't it? They go down there and start drinking. What else is probably going on? Probably some dancing, right? Probably some, you know, whatever else goes along with that. Probably some cussing. Probably somebody's getting drunk. We're going to videotape him. We're going to have this on YouTube before he goes to bed tonight. His mom will be real proud of him tomorrow, won't she? That kind of stuff goes on, you see? Don't drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink while you're underage. Morals don't change when you get older. Anything that it's immoral for you to do, it's immoral for your parents to do. I didn't misspeak. Anything that's a sin for you to do as a 10-year-old is a sin for you to do as a 90-year-old. If it's a sin. Isn't that true? Is it okay to lie when you're little? Can you lie when you get big? No, sometimes parents do. What do you think about your parents if they lie to you? What are they? Hypocrites. Sinners. Hypocrites, right?
Wait. Yeah. You can drive when you're little, but that's a sin because you're breaking the law. But you can drive when you're
old. That's why I use the word moral, a sin. In other words, it's a matter of morals. Yes, there are things that we cannot do when we're young. Like driving is one, okay? There are things in the church you can't do. You can't be an elder at y'all's age, right? You're too young. You can't be an elder pure because of gender, that's right. But there are some things that as you get older, they change. But morals don't. If it's wrong at 19 or 20, why is it all okay at 21? 12 more months go by and all of a sudden I can drink, that's okay. It's not okay, not with God. By the way, 38% of all problem drinkers started drinking when they were in the teenage years. Okay, let's look at a few verses when it comes to the Old Testament to begin with that talks about drinking. Now, the idea, first thing I want to set out is this. Guys, any and all alcoholic consumption is sin. All of it. One beer is a sin. One glass of wine is a sin. I'm going to prove that as we go. Don't take my word for it, okay? We're going to go through the Bible and deal with this. I was at a church camp not too long ago. And in the class, one of the guys, whose father is a preacher, by the way, was talking about how his dad, they do have beer in their icebox. Can you imagine your preacher drinking? That's real consistent, isn't it? You need to be a good example. You right there in the shirt. Pass me another beer, son. Thank you. Am I being a good example? No. Yes, sir. See, there you go. Did his grandpa was offered a beer by a preacher's son? Okay, which shows, by the way, that there are no levels. Can preachers go to hell? Yes, they can. Can elders and deacons go to hell? Yes. Who's going to lose their soul? Anybody who's not faithful to God, right? It can be anybody, male, female, young, old. It doesn't matter. The point was in that discussion, he was saying, "Well, you know, in our house, it's not really. We don't see that one beer is a problem. We have a member back home." Who's a DPS officer. You know what he would do to you if he pulls you over in your car and you have an open can of beer in your car? What do they call that? Drinking while driving, open container law. It is that they will give you a ticket. If they smell it on you, they'll throw you to jail. Right? That same young man who told me his dad had no trouble with them drinking beer. I remember the kids were drinking beer too in the house, okay? Then he said this. He said, but now we can't drive. If you had one beer, he won't let you drive. Man, you'll get a whooping. I said, well, how come you can't drive? Well, because, you know, if you drink a beer, it kind of gives you a little buzz. I said, wait a minute now. 5 minutes ago, you told me it didn't do anything to you. Now, which is it? Well, of course, it's the latter. It does have an effect on you. Here's a sentence I want you to think about. And then we're going to get to our scriptures. If you drink one drink, you are one drink drunk. Think about that. If you drink one drink, you're one drink drunk. In other words, if I had a can of beer up here, I don't even know how big they are. Are they 12 ounces? I don't know what they are. Just say a 12 ounce, like a Coke can, okay? A can of beer. You're usually bigger than that. But anyway, a can of beer. If I drink that one beer, am I or am I not affected physically to the extent that that amount of alcohol can affect me? I am. Now it's just a matter of degree, you see. I drink one beer, I have the effect of one beer. I drink two beers, I have the effect of two beers. But here's the point. The first beer and the 31st beer, those containers have the exact same amount of impact on me. Now, the collective effect will be more severe, but each one of them still has the same substance. They have the same potency, you see. All right, Proverbs 23, let's turn to this passage. Very, very key passage in discussing this topic. Proverbs 23. Now, every now and then, someone will say something like this. Well, we're not under the Old Testament anymore. Is that true or false? No, it's true. We're not under the old law. But, back to my point a minute ago, God's moral law has never changed. Can I cite Old Testament scriptures that deal with adultery to show that God does not like adultery? Yes, I can. Can I do the same thing when it comes to murder or theft or any other moral topic? Yes. So, while the particulars of the religious aspect of our law had changed. By the way, it changed three times. You had the law before Moses. Then you had the law of Moses. Then you have the law of Christ. The religion has changed, but morals have not changed. But look what he says here in verse 23. We'll start in chapter 23 of Proverbs. We'll start down here, about 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contentions or fights? Who has babbling? You ever heard a drunk try to talk? Blah, blah, blah. Just kind of babbling along, you know. Who hath wounds without cause? They fall down. Who has redness of the eyes? They get that blurry-eyed look, that glazed over look. They who tarry long at the wine, and they who seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, or when it gives its color to the cup, or when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. And then he goes on to talk about some other things here. All right, verse 31. Don't look at it. Now, he's not saying when you drink, close your eyes, okay? He's saying that as Christians, we're not supposed to be around it. Don't look at the stuff when it bubbles. You know how on TV they pour the champagne, it kind of bubbles and it's kind of pretty, I guess, you know. He even says it goes down sweet, but it stings like an adder. What's an adder? It's a snake. It's gonna bite you, okay? A serpent or an adder. It's poisonous. He talks about what it does to you. Causes redness of eyes. Causes people to fall down and get wounded, get hurt. Causes car wrecks. You see it all the time, right? People get all kinds of physical injuries because of their consumption. Look at verse Isaiah 28 and verse 7. But they also have erred through wine. They seek strong drink. They are out of the way. They shall therefore stumble in the day of judgment. Now, he's talking about priests there. But he says they began to consume wine, and by doing so, they stumbled in judgment. Well, will alcoholic consumption help or hurt your judgment? It will hurt. You ever get in trouble? You ever do something dumb? Cold sober. And I mean, your mind is clear. You know what you're doing. You even know better than to do it sometimes, but you do it anyway. You ever get in trouble? Man, I got scars all over my body. When I was y'all's age, I'd do stupid stuff. I'd get cut, get hurt, fall, you know, just whatever. With no alcohol, I can never imagine why somebody would want to get themselves physically in a condition where they could not control themselves. I got plenty of trouble knowing exactly what I was doing. How about y'all? I don't need help doing dumb stuff, do you? All right. So, but when you consume alcohol, all of a sudden, you know, you try stuff you shouldn't try. Why do people drive drunk? There you go. That's why. But you're right. That's why they have the wrecks. Hey, no, you're right too. They have the wrecks because they can't control the car. But they don't think they are drunk. They really don't. But they don't have the capacity to even make that judgment call. You see that? That's why the policeman pulls them over. Have you been drinking? Well, I just had one or two. I'm okay. He thinks he is okay. They don't know they're slurring their speech. They don't know they can't walk. They don't see themselves stumbling all over themselves, you see? So it has an effect on us to where it lowers our ability to make good decisions. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I bring my body under subjection. I control myself. As a Christian, we cannot partake of anything. By the way, I'm not teaching this lesson to y'all from the position that I think y'all drink. I'm sure you don't, okay? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking, but I am trying to give you... Listen, I've been this youth thing before, like just, y'all sorry kids, y'all are doing all this bad stuff. I'm assuming you're the other way, okay? But you are going to have friends who are going to struggle with these things, and you are going to need to know how to discuss it with them. And here in a few minutes, we're going to look at some verses. There are some scriptures people use to try to defend drinking. I'm going to talk about two here in a few minutes, okay, before we get through. But I'm just trying to say, in principle, you know in your mind and in your heart and what the scripture says, I cannot get myself into life choices that render my ability to make good decisions helpless. Okay, I have to maintain the clarity of thought to make good decisions. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Watch this. You ever heard somebody say, well, it's not drinking that's wrong, it's getting drunk. That's what I assume that they had in mind on this title. They gave me the title, drink or drunk. You ever heard that? Well, good. You will. Well, it's not drinking the Bible condemns. It just condemns drunkenness. That's not true. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. What's this? It says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and they who are deceived thereby are not wise. He didn't say much wine. He didn't say a bunch of wine. There is a type of liquor, of wine that is off limits, and that is alcoholic wine. And when you go to the scriptures and you begin to...
Where does it say that?
Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Yes, sir.
I have a friend and he always says, like, he doesn't drink anything, but he says that wine isn't bad to drink, and he always refers back to, well, Jesus drank wine. So we say that.
We're going to deal with that in the last portion of the lesson. I have a quote for you. This from the Medical Association says, a blood alcohol level of 1/10 of 1% can be sufficient evidence of alcoholic intoxication. recognizing that in many members, 0.05% causes inebriation. And then they go on to say there is no minimum blood alcohol concentration that can be said absolutely to have no effect. Okay? Now, this word wine, let's go ahead and just deal with this right now over here. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is no distinction in the word. In fact, in our country, if I were to say, let me think of a word that would be similar. How about the word love? I love our dog. I don't, by the way. I'm not really a pet person. I kick it if I get a chance. But we have dogs and cats. My kids love them. But okay, what's this though? But I could say I love my dog. Okay. I love my wife. That's the same word, but there's difference there, right? I mean, I love my wife a whole lot differently than I love my dog, if I did love my dog, right? Or if I love my shoes, or I love my hat, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So the word wine's that way. In the Old Testament and the New, the word oinos for wine, or yayin in Hebrew, either one, it just means wine. If I say, what's your name? Noah. Oh, we're going to have fun with you later because I do have a point on Noah. Noah, do you drink?
No.
No? No water? No Coca-Cola? Nothing? Okay, Noah, do you drink?
Yes.
You drink beer?
No.
See? Okay. I had to use the context to figure out what I mean. That word can mean everything from water to alcohol, right? Their word for wine, oinos, it really meant the blood of the grape or the blood of the fruit under consideration. So it could be pure grape juice. There are contexts where the word for grape, we consume the wine, and they're talking about the grapes themselves. There's even one where it talks about the water going down into the vine as being wine, okay? Did it include alcoholic? Yes, it did. It would include alcoholic wine. It would include what we'd call grape juice. It would include everything from hard liquor to wine. So the context has to determine which one I'm talking about, just like the idea there of drinking. So in Proverbs 20 and verse 1, when it says wine is a raging and strong drink, I said it wrong, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. What kind of juice? That's not Welch's grape juice, right? That's not the wine he's referring to. What kind of wine is he referring to? Alcoholic. Proverbs 23, do not look upon the wine when it bubbles in the cup, when it gives its color. Who is deceived by that wine? Those who fall down, have redness of eyes, all those things. That doesn't happen to you when you drink grape juice, does it? So you see, it is a certain type. It is not an amount being discussed. It is a certain type of substance being discussed. Here's a Bible principle for you. As Christians, the Bible teaches us moderation in all things that are good, and in that which is bad, abstinence. We don't participate at all, you see? So the verses I would give to show this, Genesis 9, 20 through 21, Proverbs 23, 29 and following, Isaiah 28 and verse 7. Those three all talk about wine as being a curse, as being a bad thing. But I have Jeremiah 16, verse 10. I correct that. Isaiah 16, verse 10. And Jeremiah 40 and verse 10. Both of which talk about wine being a blessing. It's two different kinds of wine. Every now and then somebody will come along and they'll say these kind of things. Well, you know, in the old times, they had no way to keep wine from fermenting. See, people want to drink. One thing I want you to begin to do as you talk with people is push them to be honest. They want to have a beer. They want to have a shot of whiskey. They want to have some kind of mixed drink. So they try to find some grounds to make it okay. So they'll say things like, well, back then they didn't have refrigeration like we do now. They didn't have the Louis Pasteur hadn't come along yet. We didn't have the pasteurization process. So they couldn't kill all the bacteria in their grape juice. So, of course, it would all be alcoholic. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What would you say about that? That's a question. I pause and... No, that's the accusation, but it's not. It wasn't alcoholic. If you take grape juice, go home, get you some grape juice, take it outside, sit it in the sun, leave it for 3 days, and go back and drink it. Is it going to be wine? No. It would become vinegar. It was sour, okay? To make wine, there is an art over 4,000 years of age, the distilling process takes several things that you have to put in there. It does take some type of sugar source. Usually wine. You can do it with honey. They do it with corn liquor over here. You have to have some type of substance that has the sugar element to it. But you add sugar and you add what else? Yeast. All alcohol is gas and poop from yeast, right? You understand that? It's excrement from yeast. That's all it is. So you put bacteria in there and you put sugar in there and you put it in darkness usually and you let it go through a fermentation process and that will yield an alcoholic substance. But wine out in nature turns to vinegar. It will rot. It will spoil. It will sour. It doesn't become alcohol. It becomes stinky juice. Just like yours does not. You ever leave your cup out? You ever left a glass in the car? You see that mold get on top of it? Whoo, nasty. But that is not Ernest and Julio Gallo, okay? That's not wine. That is vinegar. So that's kind of a false argument people sometimes make. All right, Genesis 9, 20 and 21. Back to Noah. Not this one, this one. Okay? What happened to Noah in Genesis 9, you remember? He got drunk. He made some wine and he got drunk. And did anything positive come out of him getting drunk?
No.
What happened to him? He passed out naked. Yeah. Noah, the great patriarch of the Old Testament, the great hero of the faith that built the ark and saved his family from the flood, there he is, lying on the ground, naked and drunk. Name me one good thing alcoholic consumption does for you. That's exactly right. That's all of it, right there. Nothing. But boy, you'd think, you ever turn TV on and see those commercials? See the devil, he's such a liar. John 8:44, Christ says, the devil is the liar. He has been a liar from the beginning and is the father of all such. On TV, boy, those guys, they're all muscled up. And boy, they're good looking and they're ripped and the girls are all perfect bodies and they're just dancing around. They're playing volleyball. They're doing this, whatever they're doing. They're just gorgeous, having a good time. Isn't that how they show it? Got a little old dog called Wego. Wego, here we go. Go get me some beer and drag it to me or whatever, right? It's just fun and games. Y'all probably haven't seen this, but have you ever seen a drunk? Not a very pretty sight, is it? You ever seen a battered wife? Or an abused child? Or a mangled car? Or a crippled person with both legs cut off because they got hit by something drunk? You ever seen the real consequences of alcoholic consumption? It's not a very pretty thing. You ever counseled? I counseled a busted family where the guy went out and got drunk, woke up in bed with somebody else, and now he's got a messed up family life from now on. Girls wake up from drunken parties, they don't even know who they've been with, where their clothes are, what's going on, even where they are. That's good stuff, isn't it? That's the kind of thing you need to bring up to your friends. When they start trying to tell you, oh, this is fun. It's not fun. There's nothing fun about it. You know who Bill Cosby is?
Yes.
Bill Cosby, back in the 70s and early 80s, you ever seen his video, Bill Cosby himself? There's a deal there, and he's discussing this, about how folks go out and get drunk. And they do it every Friday night. Go out, spend all their money, and get drunk, and go in a bathroom, a public restroom. You've been to a gas station bathroom? Those are clean compared to honky-tonks and bucks. Can you imagine a drunk person, seriously, guys, not being over the crew, trying to use it? Any of you girls have brothers? Any girls here have brothers? You know what I'm talking about here, don't they? Did they ever miss? Huh? Yes? Can you imagine a drunk? There's no way. It's going to be on everything, right? So here's this guy. Now he's drunk. And you're down there, you're hugging a public urinal, and your face is in a hole where people are doing their business, and you're throwing up. And that's supposed to be good? That's entertainment? Hey, let's go get party, let's go get drunk. Pay good money to put your face in somebody else's stuff. That's nasty. And I'm telling you, see, they don't show you that on TV. Everybody's just drinking and dancing. And what's going on in the bathroom, guys? Drink till you throw up and go drink some more, right? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, there's
even songs. It's called like there's songs that go, I don't even know who's last name. Right. Yeah. And you have similar Alan Jackson did one a few years ago, married to a waitress. I don't even know her name. Same idea, you know, the idea of just going out and getting drunk and having, seriously, how old are y'all? Average age in this room is pretty young right here, about 14 maybe as a group. Got some older, but a bunch of you young guys. Even as young as y'all are, can you see how foolish that is? It's back to our very first point. To ingest, to put something in your body that renders you so idiotic that putting your face in a public toilet would be normal. Waking up not knowing who you've been with physically would be normal. It's crazy. Yes, sir.
So it's fun when you don't remember something, because half the time you don't remember what you did last night. So it's more fun remembering what you did and telling people about it and instead of forgetting everything.
A few of you in my class were to go, but I was at Texas State yesterday. I took my kids around and showed them the campus. And there's three guys come up the steps. And I just kind of overheard them as going by. One of them said, "Yeah, boy, I got some video of you the other night. You were so drunk, acting stupid." Because the guy was drunk. What? He didn't even have a clue. Which is kind of to your point. What? Number one, how many of y'all have ever had a lot of fun? You ever gone to Six Flags, had a really good day, or a great day at vacation, or a great day at Christmas? You know, a lot of fun. Really had a great day, sports, whatever. A good day. And you relive it. You tell it over and over and over again, right? That's your point. Good stuff you want to remember. Do you want to remember this stuff? There's been a lot of songs about this too. Back in the old days, I forget the singer now, but the idea was, of course, again, just going out, bar hopping, and falling in bed with whoever. Said, you know, you go to bed with a 10 and wake up with a 2. You know what that means? Woke up with some ugly girl the next day and had no clue how she got there. She was pretty the night before, but when you get sobered up, not so much. And there's another one called "The Girls All Get Prettier at Closing Time." I mean, that's the same idea, right? And vice versa, the guys would too. The point is, your judgment is shot, okay? Jose Cuervo was another song several years ago, right? One of those girls sang, you know, the idea, my one eye's open, and who's that guy? Who's that cowboy in my bed? She had no clue. See, people think that's funny. Is that funny? We're going to discuss the next class deals with the consequences of sex, you know, sex outside of marriage. Venereal disease is not real funny. Being sterilized for life because of a disease you contract is not very funny, you see? Being pregnant and not even having a clue who the daddy is, that's not real funny, is it? Or finding out you're the father of a baby and not even remember the girl, that's not real funny, is it? See, it's all fun and games the way Hollywood's... By the way, Hollywood, for the most part, are they supporting or destroying, fighting against biblical principles and holiness? They're against. I'm not saying it's a sin to watch TV or movies, guys, but you need to be very careful what you are watching and what you are putting in your mind. My point is, though, we should not expect them to uphold the Bible morals. They're not going to. Yes, sir.
If that's the only thing that comes out of drinking alcohol, why is it
so easy? I'm going to get to that in just a second. But part of the reason is this. There are a lot of kids, I'm using kids because y'all's age group, they have no real purpose in life. They really don't know what they're going to do. They don't know where they're going. They're not growing up kind of like y'all are for the most part, where at least your parents are trying weekends like this, trying to remind you the idea of holiness, the idea that we're made in God's image. We have a bigger purpose in life. We're doing something with our lives. We're going to serve other people. There's a lot of these guys just growing up on you know, just playing games, going to school. Their parents, I coach a lot of sports. I think I use this illustration one to go too for y'all that are in there. I had 15 girls on my softball team this year. 15. I had two that had their mom and daddy in the family. Their biological parents were still in the marriage, okay? That's common nowadays. So you get kids that are disassociated, that they're not being fully emotionally developed as they should be, so they have an itch they can't scratch. They don't have Jesus. They don't have the church. They don't have a youth group. They don't have anything they belong to. Some of them are trying to escape their life. Either there's some bad stuff in it, or they're just fed out bored. They're seeking thrills, okay? Some of them, it's just what they see. It's what they imitate. Why are you wearing that necklace you're wearing?
Saw someone else.
Yeah, because somebody has. I mean, I'm not picking. I'm just saying. Why am I wearing this shirt? Because they gave it to me. Why, you know, you wearing something that's, so you see it advertised around you. It's supposed to be fun. You start doing it. And by the way, there are some people who are going to like the way it makes them feel. But now, if you listen to the descriptions of drunkenness, it's basically the same as getting sick. It's kind of dizzy. You know, kind of woozy. I mean, most folks don't necessarily like that particular feeling, you see. A lot of folks do it because it loosens them up. What's your name?
Aubrey.
Aubrey? Yes. Okay, Aubrey's real uptight. And she's real shy, and she's real self-conscious, okay? But get a few drinks in her, and she relaxes, okay? Now she can say what she's been thinking, but too didn't want to say. Now she'll come on to some old boy she thinks kind of cute, but she wouldn't have approached otherwise. A lot of folks do it because it removes their inhibitions. By the way, inhibitions are good. know, your moral principles. That's a good thing. But a lot of folks like that idea. They also like the idea that when you're drinking, people don't hold you as accountable. Well, I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, as if somehow now I didn't fornicate or now I didn't do whatever I did, you say. You still did. But under the influence, you see, so he kind of gives them some permission. So psychologically, I'm not sure exactly why people do it. People drink for different reasons. Some folks to escape who they are. Some like the, you know, being in that crowd. Peer pressure can move some people to do it just because everybody else is doing it. It could be rebellious. Could be you're not supposed to. You're young. You got to wait till you grow up. I'll show them I'm big enough to drink, whatever you see. There could be all kinds of psychological reasons behind it. Another scripture that we use that would show that we shouldn't do it, a New Testament one, is 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. This is the Greek word nepho, which means sober, without wine, or without drink, abstain from intoxicants. This verse says, so then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. So let us therefore be sober in the day. He's contrasting. When he says sleep here, he means those who are morally dying, okay? And he compares that with sleep and with drunkenness. Us, he says, we're supposed to be sober. Be serious-minded in what we're doing and the decisions that we're making. Right, turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I want to read two verses to you. Two sections. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And again, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your church says. A lot of preachers are wrong on this. Well, you know, drinking's okay, but drunkenness is not. See what the Bible says here, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that all the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And he goes on to talk about how they've been washed and justified and sanctified. Now, we've already looked at the quote from the doctors that say there's no such thing as a minimum drunken level of drunkenness, right? And we talked about the one drink making you one drink drunk. And we talked about the passage a minute ago, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, about be sober. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 also says this, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why should I not drink? I'm a married man, wife and four kids. Should I go out at night to a place where there's other women, there are women there, and start drinking? They're drinking, and I'm drinking. Is that a wise place for me to be? No. Why? Answer. Set. Some things. Okay. Now, watch this. I'm a married man who's been with my wife for over 20 years, very experienced in that area of life. Teenage kid with almost no experience in that area. Should you be in that room drinking? No. You're in more danger than I would be, right? And I'm in danger. That's the whole point. He's saying here, you be sober. Why? Because the devil's out there. He's looking for you. He's trying to entrap you. I like the way Mike put it last night. He's not your friend. You think about the Garden of Eden. Whenever he told Eve, in the moment you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. Was that true or false? That was a lie. When she ate, were her eyes opened? Yes. But who was she more like? Before she ate, she was made in the image of God. She was sinless and she was perfect. After she ate, she knew some things she didn't know before. But who was she more like now? The devil. The devil. Oh, it'll give you an eye-opening experience. You're going to experience some things you haven't experienced before. Any of y'all ever been in a head-on car wreck and somebody in the car died? I've never been in a car wreck and somebody died. You know what? I don't want to experience that either. Do you? No. I did witness a murder once when I was younger. That's something you don't want to see either. You know, this idea that somehow you ought to try this stuff. There's plenty of things out there that you don't want to try. That you don't need to have in your mental memory reservoir. I hope you become an old person and you never slept with anybody but your spouse. You never were drunk. You never were high. You never killed anybody. In other words, now you're going to sin as you go. But the point is, there are things out there that we do not need to experience at all. And this is one of them. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. We are begotten of God, therefore be sober and pray. Can you imagine trying to pray with a beer in your hand? know, there's some songs that bother me. The ones that mix. Well, there's one out there. I had an article in the bulletin the other day about it. You had to do with Jesus drank wine or that. You know, she was talking about her tattoos and her sleeping around and this, that, and the other. But it's okay because Jesus drank wine. And we're going to come to that verse here in just a minute, okay? People do that all the time. God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
They're crazy.
Exactly. And also, you understand how blasphemous that is to put God in the same sentence as something like that? And people do it all the time. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's look at this one. Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is the Christian virtues. Here's what we're supposed to be thinking about. I read this list. You think about alcohol and tell me if it fits this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Does alcohol fit that list? I want to give you real fast. Turn over to Galatians 5. This is a good, and then we'll come at these questions here in a second. The one that you brought up and two others that I'll bring up. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, we have what's called the sins of the flesh, okay? Now get this in your mind, sins of the flesh. Galatians 5, 22 and following, or 21 and 22, we have the fruit of the Spirit. There are a lot of things that you're going to have to face in your life, okay? And I won't be in the room with you, your parents won't be there, you've got to decide. And here's a good way to do it. Whatever I'm about to face, this temptation, which category of these scriptural concepts does it best fit, okay? Look at verse 19. Now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I've told you before, and now I tell you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Drop down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, which one of those two lists does drinking fall into?
None.
The first one. Oh. It says drunkenness, it says revelings, and it says such like, okay? I dealt with drugs earlier. It falls in the same category. Immodesty, running around showing off your rear end if you're a girl, or your top if you're a girl, or your top if you're a guy, I guess. Okay? Immodesty. Which one of these does immodesty fit into? The first one. You know, many things like that, you know. So those principles have to be brought into play. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Be temperate. Strive for mastery. What's that another word for mastery?
Perfect.
How about self-control, right? Controlling ourselves. And alcohol is not going to help me in those regards. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. If you do these things, now he's speaking again about the fruit of the Spirit, then you shall never fall nor be unfruitful. I want to deal with three questions now, okay? Some related issues. We already talked about how the Old Testament, some of those verses do talk about wine in a favorable way. I'm going to do it with Jesus first. The Passover feast. When I was probably not much older than y'all, freshman, sophomore in college, I was in a discussion with a guy, and somehow alcohol came up. And he says, well, if y'all can't drink alcohol, how do y'all take the Lord's Supper? He was a Lutheran, by the way, and they'd use alcoholic wine on the Lord's Supper. And I made the comment, I can prove for a fact that when Christ said, here, take this cup, this wine represents my blood, I can prove that wasn't alcoholic. Anybody here know how I can do that? I can prove it. You can too, if you know what. What feast are they taking of? What feast was it? Yes, sir. The Passover feast, right? The Passover feast of what? What kind of bread? Unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread?
Flat.
Why is it flat? No yeast. The Passover. Remember that when they came out of Egypt, the death angel is going to pass over, and he says there could be no yeast even in the house. What must you have to make wine? Yeast. Okay, it had to be. It was unfermented grape juice. It had to be. Unsalted and no leaven in the bread. No leaven in the whatever they cooked. There could be no yeast. No corruption was the whole point there. It was to be a symbol of purity. So the wine they drank that night was grape juice. The bread they ate that night was unleavened bread. You see? Had to be. Now, how about 1 Timothy 5 verse 23? That's what Paul tells Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. The Bible, and by the way, I know folks are wrong on this. I haven't, and I'm probably about, they're wrong the other way on this one. No, it's a sin to take of alcohol or drugs in any capacity. That's not true. The Bible authorizes drug use, and it authorizes alcoholic use as a matter of medical necessity, but it better be medical. You don't go in the ice box and, whoo, I feel better now. No, this is something a doctor prescribed, you see. Morphine. I had knee surgery a few years ago. I had my ACL tore out when I was playing ball years ago and had it all fixed. Man, they knocked me out loopy. I'm glad they did. I don't feel those guys cutting on me for 4, 5, 6 hours, right? But if I took that same drug and shot it in my arm because I liked the way it made me feel, is that okay? No, is that the same thing? Even our government sees a difference there, right? Between legal and illegal drugs. Okay, the final one is John 2. I want to get on to this one because our time is about to get away from us here. In John chapter 2, this is the first miracle Christ works. What does Christ do? Water into wine. Now, there are several things to set forth here. First of all, did Jesus turn water into wine? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Did Jesus turn water into alcoholic wine? How do you know? Here's how we're going to do this. Number one, do you know how much wine he made? Between 120 and 160 gallons. Did Jesus Christ bring the kegs to the party? There's the question.
No.
Every Bible principle you know of would not allow that, right? He made 120 gallons of something. Number two, the passage says the crowd was well drunk. Would Jesus be around a bunch of slobbering, falling over, hedonistic drunks? No. By the way, people who've been drinking alcohol, stay with me. If you drink a bunch of alcohol, I could give you horse urine in a jar. You wouldn't know the difference. Your taste buds are gone, right? But they knew the difference. They tasted it and said, ooh, this tastes good. This is good. So in other words, whatever they were drinking had not affected their taste buds. Alcohol numbs things. It is an antiseptic, right? You understand that? You've seen on TV, hopefully I haven't, but you know, the old cowboy, he, whoo, at first when it really gets him, right, because it burns all the way down. But after a few of them, it don't burn no more. It's numb, okay? But the key is back at 2:15. Woe unto him who gives his neighbor strong drink. It was a sin to give alcohol to your neighbor. Did Jesus Christ give alcohol to that crowd? Did he bring 120 to 160 gallons of alcoholic beverage to a party? You know better than that, right? And people arguing for that know it. They just want to go home and have a beer. So they try to argue, well, Jesus Christ made wine. Jesus Christ did not make alcohol. Any other questions or comments? That's a fast 45 minutes, and it goes by quick. At least from up here, I hope it did for y'all too. Thank you very much.